I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast. This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Felicia Snyder, co-founder of Arcana, a literal sanctuary in the hospitality industry that offers guests, specifically those living in cities, a transformative space to reconnect with nature and themselves. Located in the woods just under 2 hours northwest of Toronto, Arcana is a hidden retreat that features mystical mirrored cabins that seamlessly blend with the environment year-round. Once guests book, they're given the precise location, granting access to this wellness hideaway. Each cabin includes a queen bed, kitchenette, private fire pit, sauna, and access to 15 kilometers of marked trails. With her background in corporate leadership and growth, Felicia's journey to entrepreneurship has been nothing short of impressive, including as a founding executive of cannabis brand Tokyo Smoke, which was acquired by Canopy Growth in 2018. Inspired by her maternity leave experience, Felicia seized the opportunity to create Arcana, where she not only reimagines hospitality, but also champions sustainable design and responsible business practices. Her dedication to environmental preservation extends beyond the walls of Arcana, as she continues to advocate for sustainable living and innovation in her community. This podcast episode is presented by The Chain, a remarkable memoir written by Shemaine Solomon. Join Shemaine as she exposes the devastating truth of her relationship with a deceitful partner through her captivating storytelling, as she shines a light on the harmful effects of misogyny and the uplifting strength of sisterhood. I had a chance to read the book and was taken aback by its profound insights. This is a must-read for anyone who's been gaslit or coerced into disbelieving their own instincts. The Chain is Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca. Felicia, it's such a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female today. Thanks for making time to chat with me.
Likewise, the pleasure is certainly mine.
Excited to dive into all the amazing work you're doing with Arcana. But before we get into that, I like to start these conversations by getting to the origin story of my guest's journey. And I'd like to ask you, growing up, what kind of career were you picturing yourself doing later in life? What kind of profession were you envisioning for yourself? And was it at all connected to what you're actually doing today?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I love that you ask that to all of your guests. So I actually grew up in Chicago. I'm an American. And I used to say that I was an aspiring Canadian, but I officially became Canadian in October. So I think now I can say I'm a proud dual citizen.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But growing up, one of my favorite childhood games was actually playing Office. So I had a best friend at the time, Olivia, and the two of us during our play dates, that's what we would play. We'd take orders for our businesses. I don't know, Eve, if you remember, there used to be these notepads. They were actually pink and you would write messages. You know, I assume if you were in an office and someone had called, you know, someone would write down the message and leave it for that person. And you could always check the box if it was urgent. I mean, we used to set up the whole house as if it was, again, an office, and that's what we would do. Now, what's funny is for the life of me, I was trying to remember what businesses did we think we were running. And I honestly, I don't remember. But what's interesting about that is I think my career has proved to be somewhat like that. I really do enjoy creating businesses. And instead of being really focused on what is that one particular business about, I think I like working on things that have a few common threads. For me, working on things that have a direct impact on an end user is something that I found really important. I think the word direct is really key, right? And that's what's ultimately led me to start Arcana, which is, again, at the intersection of hospitality and well-being. I think there's, you know, very few industries that are more direct in terms of the impact you have to make than hospitality. I also like things that scale. I'm really motivated by growth. And then I think the third thing is I like good design. So even going back to that childhood game, I mean, I remember remember so vividly how those little pink memos were designed. I really have a lot of respect for artists, whether it's graphic designers, product designers, architects, and I get so much joy from collaborating with creative talent. I have a lot of appreciation for it. So, you know, if I think back to my childhood, it was really that opportunity to create something. And, you know, again, as I've gotten, you know, more experienced, really honing in on those three things that I just mentioned as the thread for where I want to invest my time and on what types of endeavors.
Yeah, it is actually. I can see the thread that you're talking about, the connection to the work you've done up to this point. So tell me a little bit about kind of the first chapter in your professional career. What did you choose to study? Where did that lead you? And what was kind of that first professional opportunity for you?
You know, my path, I think like many entrepreneurs, was certainly and has not been linear at all. It's more of a zigzag. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been, I think, a zigzag between corporate executive life and startups. But yeah. If I go back to, you know, what I studied, I was really always very academically driven, always focused on getting good grades, and I really enjoyed school. I went to McGill. So that was my first introduction to Canada. And
I see, yeah.
Fell in love. But I studied business at McGill. I was in the management program. I did a dual degree in East Asian studies, interestingly enough. And from there, had the opportunity to, you know, live and study in Hong Kong and do some travel in China. And after school, I felt really strongly that I wanted to start in a profession that would allow me to really understand how organizations worked from the inside out. So I took a job in management consulting and spent nearly 4 years working with financial services organizations and helping them problem solve. But as I mentioned, you know, my journey with entrepreneurship has always been a zigzag. So mm-hmm. After 2.5 years in consulting, I actually took a sabbatical, which is really funny because I feel like now looking back, I was so young to take a sabbatical. But I took a sabbatical and I moved to Shanghai and spent 6 months trying to develop and launch an energy drink in the Chinese market. So that just gives you one sort of anecdote of how entrepreneurship has always been in the back of my mind. It's sort of like this pesky mosquito itch, like a bite. You know, you have it and for part of the day, you may not scratch it, but then you remember that bite's there and then you can't stop thinking about it. So I ended up not becoming a energy drink mogul in China. That venture was not successful. And I went back into consulting. But after about 4 years, I got, I'd say, burnt out from the consulting lifestyle. And I was working on projects and problems that were, you know, while interesting, they were really removed from having that direct impact on an end user. They were more theoretical. And so I partnered up with a friend of mine and we spent about 1.5 years working on an entrepreneurial venture that at the time we had to make a decision whether we were going to continue to do it or not. And we got licenses to print sports characters and Disney characters on medical grade tape. Right?
Oh, wow.
So random.
Very specific, very niche.
Very niche. But what we were doing was we were packaging that medical grade tape with those logos and selling it to gas stations and convenience stores where people could then apply the tape onto their skin like you would a removable tattoo. It was actually a lot of fun. We spent about 1.5 years doing it, but we were building that business inside of someone else's company. So it was a family-run business out of Montreal. And one of the brothers, who was the CEO at the time, had this passion project on the side, which was, again, these, we called them body labels. And so he was the one that was financing that venture. And my friend and I, we did quite a good job. We were being distributed in over 2,000 locations by the time we ended up ending the journey. But about 1.5 years into it, it became clear that the financier behind the project and his brothers were not aligned on how core that business was to their main business. And so we ended up moving on from it. And it was at that point that I, again, went back into a big corporate setting. So I worked at Google. I got my MBA at Wharton, graduated from Wharton, and I actually moved to Seoul in South Korea, where I was doing strategy for Samsung. I was there for about 3 years when a former colleague of mine from my very first job, which was in management consulting, called me up and he said to me, you know, I know you're living in Seoul and I had recently gotten married. And he said, this is going to sound completely crazy, but what would you think about picking up, moving to Toronto and starting a cannabis company with me? So it was interesting. I give a lot of credit to my mentor at Samsung, who I still am in close contact with today. I walked into his office and I said, you know, I'm really struggling with something. I love what I'm doing at Samsung. And I was on a really interesting path there. But I had gotten this call and I couldn't stop thinking about it, right? That, you know, mosquito bite that all of a sudden you can't stop remembering you have. And, you know, he basically looked at me and he said, Felicia, I have the absolute confidence that you will make an incredible leader here at Samsung. And that if you, you know, dedicate the next 20, 30 years of your career here, you will be at the highest levels, which was incredible to hear, right? But of course, I'm hearing 20, 30 years, wow. But he said, the fact that you're coming to me with even the idea that something like moving to another country and starting a business in an industry that, you know, has never really existed before in a large commercial way means you've already made your decision, right? You already have your answer. You are an entrepreneur. And he was the first person that said it in that way, right? I think before I always felt like I wasn't sure if I really was an entrepreneur. And once he shared that feedback with me, I haven't looked back since. And so very grateful that I had a partner that was willing to take a huge risk with me. But we picked up and, you know, moved to Toronto. That would have been in 2017. And I had the chance to work with two close friends of mine and build Tokyo Smoke. And that was an incredible journey. And, you know, I'll say that having the opportunity to build something and take it through the full life cycle. So we, you know, built the business, we ended up taking it public, operated it as a public entity, and then sold it all in a very short amount of time. And I think that experience was really thrilling, really rewarding, really challenging, but certainly cemented that, you know, I think my zigzagging is done. I think entrepreneurship is truly it for me. And that, again, on the heels of Tokyo Smoke, really wanting to ensure that as I move forward, I was staying true to, again, those three things that I mentioned previously, having the chance to work on something that has a meaningful impact on an end user, that can scale, and that allows me to really lead with design. And that's, you know, where I am now. And again, it's been all over the place.
I love a journey with multiple stops along the way, and some zigzagging, but still there was a common thread throughout. If you go back to your experience as an entrepreneur, and it's interesting because, you know, you kind of had experience in a corporate sector as well, which I find is often a great school to learn before we start our own business. Was there something that made you question your decision to go in business? Was there an obstacle, a challenge you faced that made you think, okay, maybe I should have kept that job?
I mean, you know, I think candidly, there's always a grass is greener type of dialogue that can be had. There is certainly something around the, you know, security is a funny word, but I'll use it, of working in a large organization. You know, of course, that doesn't mean you're not, you know, susceptible to layoffs and everything else. But, you know, there's something that is nice about the predictability of the support that a large organization can provide. And I think once you dive, you know, headfirst and deep into the entrepreneurial path, if you will, you lose some of that, right? My brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, they're both longtime tech workers, right? And I mentioned I briefly worked at Google, and they're at Amazon and at Google now, and they've been there for, you know, I don't know, 10 plus years. And there's so many wonderful things that large organizations provide, you know, to their employees, just different types of benefits. And so I think that's a trade-off that you're making. But I think ultimately, if you've got that entrepreneurial itch, the rewards that are to be had from taking that risk, I think are just that more meaningful. But it all comes down to, I think, the individual. I think the corporate path, like I said, is so rewarding and can provide, you know, a lot in terms of opportunities to enrich your life.
I love that. And I echo what you're saying about the differences between the two. But again, I think having career experience where you get to learn from both is, you know, so rewarding. And entrepreneurship life is not for everyone. But going back to your journey, tell me a little bit about what happened afterwards. So Tokyo Smoke was bought. And what path did you find yourself on following the exit?
So Tokyo Smoke was acquired by, at the time, what was the largest cannabis company. Canopy Growth. And I found myself working at Canopy Growth in a role that was interesting, certainly. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden I felt like, oh, okay, well, I just had this really exciting, you know, entrepreneurial, you know, roller coaster. But now I found myself at the end of the ride and I'm sort of sitting in a somewhat like of a middle management type of role in an organization that feels like it's operating, you know, like a big consumer packaged goods company, a CPG company. And I took a moment and I was like, is that what I want to do, right? Is that where I want to be?
Right.
And my answer, again, at this point in my career was pretty definitively no. And so all that being said, I gave myself some time. I also ended up becoming pregnant with my daughter. And, you know, again, going back to some of the perks of working in an organization and being in Canada, there was a mat leave I could take. And that was amazing. I think as an entrepreneur, it's not that you can't give yourself time off, but your calculus on how to do so is certainly a lot different than if you're working within an organization. So I stayed at Canopy Growth just under 2 years. I ended up having a nice extended mat leave. And it was during that time that I decided I really wanted to spend my energy building something, going back to that entrepreneurial core. And I had the opportunity to do so alongside one of the founders of Tokyo Smoke. And we very much have that similar mindset that we like building things that have the opportunity to make an impact on end users. We love design and believe that design is such an important language in building community and building brand. Additional context, we go back to the cannabis venture is, you know, we built Tokyo Smoke really underpinned by the idea that cannabis is good. And, you know, now that may not seem so novel, but this was a big bet at the time. It wasn't yet federally legal, recreational cannabis. We were betting that it would become federally legal. But ultimately, we did that because we wanted to give more people a tool in their toolkit to help on whatever their journey was, right? Not be prescriptive. I'm not going to suggest that I know what cannabis may do for any one person, but I felt like there was enough proof that cannabis is a tool that people may be able to use in their own journey with mental health and well-being. And so that said, obviously there's, you know, cannabis is a substance and there are lots of things to consider when you choose to consume cannabis. We were like, what's an even more accessible tool to help with people's well-being? And for us, it really was nature. And, you know, nature is much less controversial and everyone does have access to it. I think it's really, it's important you said that with such conviction because I think people actually forget that, especially people who live in large urban centers. But everyone does have access to nature in some way, shape, or form. And there's so much interesting science on why spending time in nature makes you feel better. But you instinctively know that it does. If you go for a walk, let's say 30 minutes in a natural setting, you'll feel some version of different. Whether you feel a little calmer, right? Or perhaps you feel a little less stressed. There's a lot of interesting research and science as to the why behind that. And so we loved that as a premise, right? You know, you can talk to 20 people, and if you ask them their time in nature, I'd say 19 times out of 20, you're going to get a big smile. And the 20th time out of 20, that person may not feel like they enjoy being in nature, but it gives you an opportunity to convince them. Because I think what we know is that if you do spend time in nature, you will feel some version of better.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was the premise for starting Arcano. We wanted to create an experience that was catered towards people who live in cities, but is designed to remind them how great it feels to be in nature. And that was really the kernel, you know, for the idea. And now we've been building Arcana for the last 3 years. And it's been an amazing journey, an amazing opportunity to create this experiential hospitality concept where you've got people from the city that are driving 2 hours to a destination that we're essentially curating when they arrive. But it's all self-led. So when our guests arrive, they're not greeted by staff. We give them breadcrumbs. So we're communicating with them or they arrive, there's an email and, you know, we're texting with them on sort of what to expect. And then there's really interesting wayfinding all around the property. But we've created this beautiful space in nature with these, you know, small footprint cabins that allow people to experience nature on their own terms. And what we find is when guests get out of the other end after, you know, a two-night stay, they feel something, right? And to continue to build those experiences has just been really incredible. And as we grow, we've gotten to the point where one of the most common pieces of feedback we get from our guests is the cabins that we've designed are so beautiful and compelling that guests ask, hey, can people buy these? They're pretty special. And we prefabricate them in a factory. So they can be placed on a trailer and driven anywhere. So if you want one, we can bring you one to Montreal.
I want to buy one after seeing it.
When they arrive, they're finished. All of the inside, the furniture, everything is there, which is really interesting because it's a product that we didn't find one available, so we built it. And we've now launched our home as a distinct business line where we're selling our cabins directly to individuals and to other hospitality developers.
This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise. And they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD Services for Women in Business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and they engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business. Embark on an unforgettable journey through love, betrayal, and sisterhood in The Chain by Shemaine Solomon, a gripping memoir that digs deep into the aftermath of persistent misogyny, as Shemaine bravely recounts her personal journey through powerful storytelling while challenging societal norms and celebrating the power of female solidarity. New York Times bestselling author Maggie Smith describes The Chain as a formidable book, a triumph of mind, body, and spirit. The Chain happens to be Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca.
What kind of market research did you do? You had an idea, an inkling for what you wanted to create and how you wanted this to look, but was there kind of a project somewhere else or a company that inspired you to nail down the final concept?
Sure. So there's an interesting business model blueprint, I'd say, for this in the US with a company by the name of Getaway. So Getaway started probably 7 to 10 years ago, I'd say. And what they did was they took campgrounds in the US, they started in Boston, and they started converting those campgrounds into these hospitality sites that featured one cabin that was very Instagram friendly. It was a cabin that guests could come to, had a big picture window, and sort of cozy up. And these cabins were scattered throughout the property. And they were offering guests for $99, you know, the chance to come to the woods. And, you know, they were able to grow that concept by offering this kind of cheap and cheerful experience to people who lived in cities, and all of their properties were, again, within 2 to 3 hour driving distance from kind of major urban centers. And so they were catering to an individual that maybe didn't know how to camp, didn't feel necessarily very, you know, literate with how to navigate, quote unquote, the outdoors. And, you know, they were creating this predictable environment for those guests to come to, right? Here's a cabin. We're going to tell you everything about it. It has everything you need. Here's how to make a fire, all of that. So we thought that business model was really interesting. But when we went, we felt like, okay, there's a lot to like about this business model, but there's an opportunity to create an experience that was a bit more luxury, but also that leaned more into the well-being component of what I was getting at. And there's not much of an experience to it. I think the price point is also very different than the concept that we've built. But what we wanted to do was take that same, okay, small footprint cabin situated on a beautiful piece of land within 2 to 3 hours outside of a city. And now let's actually create an experience for that guest around their immersion into that natural setting. So that's sort of how we looked at it. And again, I mentioned Getaway as the business blueprint. Going back to my background, for me, it was very important to know that if we were going to go into the hospitality space, that we had a path to scale and that we had like a sound business model underpinning the idea. So that was the inspiration we took from that concept in order to build Arcana. But your other question was like, what market research did we do to know that this concept would have legs? I'd say, again, we instinctually knew that building a destination centered around nature as a tool for mental health was going to resonate. And if you go back, like this happened to be when, you know, the world started to shut down because of the pandemic. And mental health anyways, as an issue, has only been increasing. And so we knew that there is increasingly a need. I don't think it's ceased at all for people to invest in themselves and to find spaces and places for them to focus on their mental health and well-being. And so we knew that market was there and wasn't going anywhere, right? And then for us, we really wanted to create, borrowing from kind of tech speak, a minimum viable product, right? Let's create our MVP of this concept to prove everything that, again, we thought. So we started with couple cabins. We built we called it internally our pilot site, and we operated. So, you know, that was really the best proof of demand, is going out and trying something, you know, in real life, test it. And that allows you to, you know, really learn and refine as you go and as you grow.
Love that. And yes, I can see how that concept is only going to keep taking off, and we'll probably see more players in that space. What you've built is really smart. I think you've come in at a very timely moment. This is different than, you know, previous businesses you've helmed, still in the wellness space. There's a mental health component, but did you find yourself kind of, you know, having to navigate new challenges or things that were maybe out of your previous wheelhouse in terms of what you were familiar with? And if so, what was that like? And I'm also curious to know, how hard was it finding that manufacturer that you would buy the units from and really getting it delivered based on the vision you had for what is a very innovative concept, basically?
Absolutely. You know, when I decided to go into Arcana and ultimately our home, I was immediately told, oh, construction and development, it's capital intensive, it's time consuming, you know, there are going to be delays. And, you know, it took me Smoke, we did build retail stores. And I remember even thinking like, geez, those take a long time, right? Because I had come from a background where I was in tech and in finance, things moved really fast. Now in hindsight, you know, building a retail store, like again, assuming the box is already there, you're kind of renovating a shell, that's so fast compared to, you know, developing and adding infrastructure to a new raw piece of land, right? And so that certainly has been the biggest challenge. I think development is time consuming. And so that challenge, as we've grown, just recognizing that it takes longer, again, you know, we anticipated when we first started, and that there are many things outside of your control in the construction and development cycle, that challenge has led, I think, to the opportunity and to realizing the opportunity with our home, right? With the cabin manufacturing. And the reason I say that is because the beauty of us building these cabins in a factory is that it's a really controlled environment, and we have absolute certainty around the timing and the cost, right? To build those units. And you asked like, how did we find our build partner? We did that by actually trialing a few different build partners. So our cabin design has been an iterative process as well. Our very first cabin that we designed, we had actually built out in British Columbia. It was a beautiful cabin. But again, I think practically speaking, as our business started to anchor on Ontario, it didn't make sense for us at this stage to have a builder out in British Columbia. But we then were able to take that product that we were really happy with from a design standpoint and search for builders that were local, right? Who could sort of build to that same quality and have that same attention to detail that was important to us. And so our current build partner is exactly that. Their background, they actually build luxury homes, but they do so with a specific, you know, philosophy that really resonated with Arcana as we built it and as we grow, that they look to minimize the impact of their structures on the environment. And so for us, finding that value aligned builder, so one who, you know, had an eye for quality and design, and two, was making decisions on how like building materials were being selected, et cetera, that had an alignment with our brand was really important. But again, I think it is a challenging, you know, space to be in. And as someone who likes growth and likes scale, recognizing that, again, you know, you can't control all elements of the construction and development process in the same way, you know, you can in certain other industries, really, I think, has been a challenge. And the nice thing is that the way that we've chosen to redirect our energy while we are patiently working through development timelines is, again, taking a more predictable business and having the team really focus on getting that out there and working through those types of sales.
What's the long-term vision? What are you hoping to see with the company maybe 5 years from now or even longer? You've mentioned, you know, really wanting to create that movement and probably expanding. You're selling some of these units, but what's the long-term view for the brand?
Yeah, so, I mean, Arcana is all about returning humanity to the wild, returning humanity to nature, right? And for us, we really envision doing that at scale. So our goal for the company is to see Arcana properties, you know, all across North America and globally. And we believe that from a hospitality standpoint, you know, you've got these large hospitality, you know, behemoths. You've got, you know, your Marriott, your Hilton, et cetera. And what they're good at is obviously, you know, operations. And again, they have these huge portfolios. What they, I think, are less adept at is building innovative experiential concepts anchored on community, right? And I think for us, that's what we are, you know, purpose built to do. And my hope is that we do that to a point where we attract interest from a larger hospitality entity that can then take Arcana as a concept and scale it across, again, a large global platform. And, you know, similar to how, again, we thought about Tokyo Smoke in the early days, we want to build the thing that's really hard for large corporations to build, which is community and having something that really is an experience and a connection with an end user and a consumer. And, you know, then find, you know, that home for it to scale through, right? And so that's really the journey that we're on.
I love that. In closing, now that you've had experience in really a diversity of sectors and, you know, you've worked on the corporate side as well, but if you had to pick three pieces of advice for women in business, maybe someone who is considering entering the, I hate to call it the wellness space, because what you're doing is much broader than that. But if somebody was, you know, looking to build something with a goal of supporting mental health and wellness and kind of having that vision for a better humanity, how would you sum up three pieces of advice to them?
Well, I think like one, there's often readily available reasons why something won't work. And I think what's really important is for, you know, someone who wants to build something as an entrepreneur, like write all those things down on a piece of paper and then crumple it up and throw it away. They don't matter because there's so many reasons why something is improbable and won't work. But if you focus your energy on trying to like solve for those, you'll miss the opportunity to take your energy and pour it into the creation of the something new. Another is, you know, never forget that when you're building something, if you're looking for investors, that you're the one giving the opportunity to that investor to make returns. So like go in the mindset that you are giving, not taking. I think giving potential investors something that's incredibly valuable, if you go in with that mindset and you're never sheepish about it, I think that's, I found really valuable as managed investors over time. You know, the other thing is, again, what matters most is the energy that you have to throw into an idea, but be nimble with it, right? Be ready to be right about many things and wrong about many more. I think you need to enjoy the journey and it's going to be hard. There's going to be things that feel impossible, but just know that every obstacle has another side to it, right? And I think even just recognizing that there's another side to something, that you'll get past it, whatever it is. It doesn't mean you'll win. You might lose or, you know, at that particular challenge, but you're going to be on the other side. I think that removes a lot of the stress from the journey.
Love that. And I think that's great advice. I wish we had more time because I love everything that you've built and just following, you know, this thread along your career has been fascinating, but very excited to experience Arcana myself. Hopefully we invite some of our, or get our listeners excited as well to want to give it a try. And is it an experience that's offered year round or is it seasonal at the moment?
No, it's year round. And I will say that winter is spectacularly, I mean, it's spectacular all year round, but winter to me is the most magical. You know, the chance to be in a snow-covered forest, you wake up and you feel like you're in Narnia, and the chance to have, you know, a few nights immersed in nature in winter is really special. So yes, year round, and hopefully we'll be in Quebec soon. So maybe you won't even have to go that far.
Oh, love that. Well, you'll have to keep us posted on new locations. And in the meantime, congrats on what you've built. Can't wait to see where the experience goes next. And it was a pleasure talking to you and hearing more about your journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brandis Female Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of The Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.